today on Real Radio.
We're looking at five warnings regarding spirituality. And you might say, well, Pastor, are you crazy? Isn't spirituality a great thing? It can be. It can also be the thing that leads you or carts you right off into oblivion without God. Spirituality is a very powerful thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that the Lord has put eternity in our hearts. Therefore, we are subject to spiritual relationships and we're prone to pursue them or even search for them. In our biblical worldview and spirituality sessions, Pastor Jack answers the question, what could possibly be wrong with a person being spiritual? Today, Pastor Jack wants the believer to be careful about spiritual issues and to guard our hearts and minds above all else. There are deceiving spirits out there speaking lies and hypocrisy. Therefore, the Christian must not engage in the practices of fortune-telling, Ouija boards, or even seek out psychics, for these are detestable to the Lord. And now, here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles and turn to Acts, of course, chapter 17. We are in our study, our worldview series, and it is part two of our biblical worldview and spirituality. Spirituality, and specifically, you can mark down in your notes that we're looking at the topic that is all wrapped up in this biblical doctrine of what is called demonology. And that manifests itself in many, many ways, and we will touch on these things in part two tonight of our message regarding our biblical world series and spirituality. Acts chapter 17. I'm going to give you just that theme verse, and then I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screen. Acts 17:28, Paul said to the Athenians that it is in him we live and move and have our being. And in that statement, he makes the grand, bold announcement that for the Athenians, and for that matter, for all people of the earth, and I'll read it here in its context in a moment, that he says that it's the Lord God who is the one sole God of all the earth, and that pagan, foreign gods of the one true God are ministered by the ignorance of man all over the world in various forms, and that's nothing new. And so the setting, I want you to put it in your mind. I want to show you a couple of pictures, photographs that ought to really excite you, because Paul didn't deliver this message to some back alley crowd. Paul ascended Mars Hill in Athens. And as you look at the screen right now, look at these pictures that are just amazing to me, because these are modern pictures. You see that big rock right there? That is actually the rock of or called Mars Hill. Mars Hill, in a geographical sense, is a little bit bigger, but that is Mars Hill. That is a big piece of rock. And in fact, you see those two people standing there? I think that's significant. Why? Because when you were a philosopher or proclaiming some great, profound thing, as the Athenians were used to, you would stand on that rock and you would proclaim your word. Isn't it interesting? They would stand on a rock to proclaim their word. And by doing so, symbolically, it really meant something to the audience. At the top of this spot, on the top of this amazing mega hill, rock, Mars Hill, are some of the greatest testaments to man's logic and wisdom and the ancient Greek gods. This is the exact location where Paul the Apostle spoke in Acts 17. You're looking at it. Again, I stress to you that our faith as Christians is founded upon fact. You can get in a plane, you can fly to Greece, and you can see and walk on the stones that the Apostle Paul walked on. Look at that gorgeous thing. It looks like, actually, the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., doesn't it? Of course, we fashioned a lot of our architecture after that. But just an absolute gorgeous location. This was the center of the web when it came to international knowledge and communication and wisdom. from this location. So we're not talking about lightweights here. We have a tendency to look back at 2,000 years ago and think that there's somehow some sort of country bumpkins. Listen, I don't want to insult you, but the commoner in Greece was more highly educated than we are today. We are specialists today. We know somewhat about one specific thing. They were multilingual in their languages. They studied astronomy. It was common for the average person to be highly educated and to be well-equipped for logic and reason. And you got to remember something. This is the place of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And so when Paul comes on the scene, well, look with me, Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked, exasperated. He was burdened because of all of their paganism within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. You got to circle that word, idols. Therefore, he reasoned, that is, he challenged them intellectually and spiritually in the synagogue with the Jews and with Gentile worshipers and in the marketplaces daily with those who happened to be there. I love that, with those who happened to be there. Poor victims. They were going to hear the gospel. Verse 18, then certain Epicureans, these were pleasure seekers, hedonistic guys, Stoics, these were the guys that looked like they sucked on lemons all day, philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods. Why? Because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. That's what you just saw a moment ago, that peak with those great structures. So they took them, Paul, there, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else. How could they do that? Well, because they're quite wealthy, to be honest with you. But either to tell or to hear some new thing. Internet. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens. Wouldn't you love to have seen this? I perceive that in all things you are very religious. That word is spiritually minded or having a spiritual predisposition, which is true, by the way. And here comes the proof of it. Verse 23, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world, notice he's the creator, divine engineer of all of creation. The Bible and creation, you'll never find a contradiction between the two, ever. Remember that. Everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Thank you, Lord. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Verse 26, and he has made himself from one blood. That is a hematological, biological, chemical fact that we didn't know until recently. From one blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God has literally established the continents and within the continents, the borders of nations. Is that amazing? He watches over them. He's watching what's going on right now in the restructuring of the Middle East as we speak. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us or each one of us. Verse 28, we read it a moment ago, for in him we live and move and have our being. They're very spiritual people. Last time we began this part one of this message of this worldview series regarding spirituality. And we're looking at five warnings regarding spirituality. And you might say, well, Pastor, are you crazy? Isn't spirituality a great thing? It can be. It can also be the thing that leads you or carts you right off into oblivion without God. Spirituality is a very powerful thing. Last time, listen, this is going to be the longest recap in human history, I think. Number one, we looked at this last time. We looked at five warnings. One of them, first of all, was a warning is that failing to recognize what you are, that you as a created person by God Almighty is a spiritual creature. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, we remember this, that God says in the Bible that he has put eternity in our hearts. And by the way, the verbiage means that he has not put eternity in the hearts of any other creature, be it angelic or animal. That's amazing. You have been created in the image of God, and he has placed eternity in your heart. Every person, no matter who they are, know this, Christian, if they claim to be atheistic, don't believe it. Down deep inside, because the Bible says he has put eternity in their hearts, they have eternal and forever questions in their heart. You need to seize that like Paul did and witness to them. Give them the good news of Jesus. You and I are subject to spiritual relationships. That's part of our distant path. Spirituality is a beautiful thing when our spirituality is focused on the one who made us. When we look at things outside of God not being our focus, and we are spiritual creatures, we can quickly go astray. We can begin to worship things like the Athenians. We can worship anything when we do not worship the one true God. And that was Paul's great argument. Proverbs 4:23, from the wisest guy that's ever lived, said, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Wow, is that not true? Guard your heart, he says, Solomon does, above everything else. Why? Because it determines the course of your life. I just talked to a young man the other day whose life is now going off the deep end because he made a series of ridiculous decisions, got away from his walk with Jesus, began to justify a little here and a little there. I can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, until it caught him like a trap and, as it were, rose up and bit him. And now his life will never be the same. Even if he returns back to Christ, even if he repents of his sin, what he has already ventured into is, he still now will live the rest of his life with the fruit of his decisions. It ain't going away. Guard your heart, Solomon says. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1 says regarding spirituality, "Now the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "expressly says that in the latter times," the end of days, the last days, "some," thank God not all, "some will depart from the faith, giving heed," listen everybody, "listening to dangerous, stupid doctrines," giving heed, "reading, entertaining demonic doctrines," look, "deceiving," seducing, the word is spirits, "and doctrines of demons," "speaking lies and hypocrisy," lies. There's lies so engineered by Satan, you can't tell if it's a lie or not. "Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Have you ever met somebody like that? They say things, they have an argument, and they have gone beyond the line, and they don't even know how stupid their argument is. They completely believe it. And you listen to them, and you just say, "Oh God in heaven, help this poor person. And in the meantime, don't let me ever get like this." Oh my goodness. Doctrines of demons. Spirituality, spiritism is a big deal, as I mentioned before, more than ever. And I mentioned in closing, and it generated some laughs, but it's not so funny. Things like Ouija boards. You know, it's a game. You can buy it at Toys R Us. Satan notoriously uses things like Ouija boards. It opens you up to demonic activity. Why? Because spirituality, spiritism is real. Tarot cards is an ancient pagan practice of demonism. Palm reading has demonic powers. Be careful. I've heard Christians say, "Hey man, we're Christians. Let's go into this palm reader and freak her out." Don't do that. Someone emailed me, by the way, which I appreciated. They said, "Pastor Jack, will you ever address why it was that when Saul went to seek the witch of Endor, that he, as he was waiting there upon that medium, that the spirit of Samuel arose via that seance?" And well, I'll tell you what, there's two things, there's two views on that. Number one, remember, she screams and freaks out. And number one, some scholars say that God doesn't allow his dead or the dead to interfere in this life. And there's a lot of truth to that, by the way. And that it was a special case where Samuel was allowed, or Saul and the medium, they were allowed to see into the spirit realm. Some say that that's what happened. And then there's the other view that says, no, it was a demonic manifestation, because they're adamant that God doesn't allow the two worlds to cross over. And I don't know if you can be dogmatic regarding the interpretation, but I will say this. She was a witch. She practiced medium or soothsaying or seances, which opened you up to the demonic world. King Saul was wrong for doing that, and he paid the consequence for it. But here's the interesting thing. Why did she scream? Why did she scream? Because if she's used to channeling and dealing with demons, why did she scream when she saw Samuel? It may very well be possible that God allowed her to see Samuel, and she didn't recognize her familiar spirit, her demon spirit. Her game went awry. Her game went off course. And God blew their minds. It's possible. All I know, she freaked, Saul freaked, and spiritism's real. Don't goof around and joke around with seances and think as a Christian you're going to go play some game and come on, let's take the Holy Spirit to this palm reader. Don't do that. You're tempting God, and you're going to pay the price. It's not a game. It's a serious issue. Some of you got a little bit interested when I mentioned horoscopes and the zodiac. Did you know the Bible condemns that? Really? I'm a Christian. I look at the zodiac all the time. Well, stop tonight. The zodiac has true, actual spiritual powers that are of a demonic source. The zodiac is from Babylonian worship. It's nearly 4,000 years old, 5,000 years old. It's ancient. Why is it stuck around all these years? How has it survived? Because there's real demonic powers behind it. Don't goof off. Well, what about those eight balls that you can buy again at Toys R Us and you look around? Don't get involved in that stuff. Don't do it. What about astrology? I didn't say astronomy. I said astrology. Dangerous, demonic. The Bible condemns it. Why? Because it's real. There are demonic deceiving powers in all of that. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. This is the last verse I quoted with you when we were together last. When you enter into the land that the Lord your God has given you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your daughter or your son as a burnt offering. Your sons or your daughters. Interesting. Why would you do that? More detailed, you would sacrifice your firstborn son and daughter to the gods of your pleasures. Moloch, Remphan, these others. He goes on, and do not let your people practice fortune telling or use sorcery, pharmakei. You ever heard that word? Mind-altering drugs, pharmakeia, where we get the word pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. Mind-altering drugs, why? Mind-altering drugs open you up to the demonic realm. Many people today on LSD, some sort of acid trip, mind-freaking out, dope, drug scene trip, people have said, man, I saw things, I don't ever do that again. I saw demonic stuff. I believe, based on the Bible, you saw some real things. It opens a door. Boy, I wish I could talk more on that for a moment, but we cannot do that. Let's keep going. What does the next thing say? The internet. Interpret omens or engage in witchcraft. Look like internet there for a second, didn't it? Engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or as psychics. Or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Idols, images, and icons. Watch out. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 10, 19. Paul says, do I mean then that sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Watch this. Or that an idol is anything? No. What was he saying? Idols are powerless as a material piece of plastic or porcelain or metal, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. Yikes, have you ever seen anyone bow down to an image? The Bible says they're actually bowing down to the powers that are behind the image. Statue, icon, idol. Do you bow down to an icon, to an image, to a statue and pray? The Bible says there are demons in that practice. Get away from it. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons too, or also. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Isn't that tremendous? Why? What's the point? Mark 13, 22. Jesus said, Mark 13, 22, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. Church, let me get something right here straight. I hear this misquoted a lot, Mark 13, 22. The Bible says, if possible, Satan would deceive the very elect. Can you look at that? Anybody have a logic class in school? Do you know what that statement means? That statement means that it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. The power of deception is so strong that if you are not God's chosen child, you will be deceived. But because you are, you will not be deceived. But the enemy will bring people so close to the brink that if it were possible, even the believer could be deceived. Answer, believers, true believers cannot be deceived. You need to understand that. Do you know somebody who's living in deception? It's possible they're not a true believer. Serious stuff? I didn't make that up. That's the scripture teaching that. Jesus said it himself. And there's an evil purpose afoot in our world today more than ever. 2 Peter chapter 2. You guys okay?
Yes.
Still introduction. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets among the people. He's speaking past tense. This is very nerve-wracking. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, undetectable. The word means to slip or to slide in, to lace or taint, to hide among the true. The Bible says there will be deceivers secretly bringing in among you, your camp, destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. That's broad. And bring on themselves swift destruction. It doesn't mean that they're exposed quickly. It means that when their end comes, they're taken away in that without remedy. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, misrepresented. By covetousness, what does that mean? By their lifestyles. You're going to know who they are. I'm a multimillionaire because Jesus made me rich and he needs to make you rich. And if you're not rich, how come? Have you ever seen these guys? I live in Bel Air. Why don't you? You need more faith. And if I had the faith to take my fist, that's doctrines of demons, that's heresy, and that is a manifestation of them using the Word of God and the audience of God to deceive people for their own covetousness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Part 2. Thanks for listening today to the message here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack hopes that you stay faithful in your spiritual walk, avoiding the heartbreaking road of the enemy by anchoring yourself in the Word of God. Today's lesson was just one in a series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, meanwhile, did you know that this ministry has an app? It's called the Real Life app. It's for your smartphone or tablet, and did you know? It's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. Now, did you know that with this one app, you can access Real Radio, Pastor Jack's program on Sirius XM if you'd like, Real Life Devotions, which you hear us talk about quite often. The list seems to go on and on. Just download that app and you'll see. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Also, don't forget to visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Next time you sit down at the computer, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.